Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I met a man one day that's so far greater than anybody else that everyone else pales in comparison. There is not, now there's people I admire, and there are people I love, and there are certain men and women in this world that if I could say it, they were my heroes. I even open up this book and find it full of men and women of faith that if you're going to fixate on something, like let's look to those that have been tried and tested and stood the test. But the greatest of them all was the one that hung on the cross. I realized he was God in the flesh, and that's what makes it such a wonder, is that Christ could have done anything he wanted. He didn't have to hang there. I believe it was John said he could have called at any moment. He could have whispered. And there were 12 legions of angels standing ready. They would have took him from that cross, and they could have annihilated everybody around there. But he didn't. He hung there because he loved you. And he loved me. You want a hero? That man that died for you, he's at the top of that list. I love him today. Well, appreciate the Lord. Goodness, turn with us to Luke chapter 15. Boy, I came with my heart set this morning on what God was going to do, and he changed it 10 minutes ago. So I'm just going to give you what he's given me, and we'll go to the house. But I hope you'll get right with God. Amen. Luke chapter number 15. I'm only a chapter away from where I was when I got here, but thank God. Amen. I love his voice today. I'm glad that God knows what we don't know, and I'm trusting him. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, now notice that word, all, he didn't have nothing left, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. It wasn't judgment. Wasn't condemnation. What the father had for the son was compassion. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Bow with us. Father, thank you for your word and for the unction, God, and for the fact that you know what's right and what when it's right. So we worship you, God, in this moment for that simple truth. I pray for the hearts of the hearer today to share your word, God. It has to be hearers. And I'm praying, God, that more than the ears hear, that the heart would hear also. We're trusting you, God, with the results and believing you, God, to do what only you can do. We're asking it as we pray it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Around these parts, you'll hear a simple statement, and I believe the Apostle Paul was all over it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 when he said, "Be reconciled to God." The old-timers around here said, "You need to get right with God." Amen. That's still a good saying, by the way. You need to get right with God. Now, there's an inference there, Greg, that you ain't right, that you're wrong. People don't like to hear that. I didn't like to hear that. I don't reckon anybody in here that enjoyed hearing, because they knew it. They already knew that's wrong. But then when somebody, through the unction of the Spirit, or because they loved them enough, look them in the eye and say, "You need to get right with God." That's still good. And friend, we need to be right with God. Now, I'm not going to preach all the way from Genesis to here, but that's where it started. Our fellowship with God was broken in the Garden of Eden, friend, and the only thing that reconciled man back to God from that day was the blood of Jesus Christ. The only reason that you and I are even here, we're Gentiles. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope without God in the world. That's how we were. Dogs. But Christ died for my sin because I was wrong. And he was right. God made a way for me to be right. He made a way for me to be right. You say, "Preacher, are you perfect?" No, far from it. But I want you to understand one thing. Is the day I got born again, the Holy Ghost of God imputed the righteousness of Christ to me. I stand here today, right with God, not because of anything I have done, but because the blood of Jesus Christ hath paid my sin debt, and my sins, as far as God is concerned, have been cast into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. I will say to you today, not because I have an ability or a right or a privilege, no, but because Jesus died for my sin, I am no sin today. That's hard for people to grasp. Hey, that's hard for my mind to grasp. Because I'll tell you right now, I live in a sinful flesh that you can't get it right. Amen. You can't get your flesh right enough to ever satisfy God. Amen. You can wash that pig. You can put perfume on that pig. You can put lipstick on that pig. You can put a bow on that pig. And brother, it's still a pig. When you turn your back, it's going to go right back to what it was doing before, which was the mud and the wicked muck of this world. Friend, you can't make yourself right. Only God can. What you need today is to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins and rose again. And the Bible said, in believing him, you can be saved today. You can be made right with God. Now, listen, some of you may have already tuned me out this morning because, oh, well, I got that one checked off the list. I'm just where I need to be. Well, let me tell you about a young man, amen, that he fell out of right. He got wrong real quick. He woke up one day and decided he didn't need his father. And brother, he didn't need his brothers. He didn't need father's house. He didn't need the father's help. And he made up his mind, well, I've got access to my inheritance, and I'm just going to required of my father, and if he'll give it to me, I'm out of here. I'm going to leave this place. I'm tired of my father's rules. I'm tired of my father's ways. Hey, by the way, I've learned to love them ways. I've learned to treasure them ways. I can sleep at night because the father has rules. Amen, amen. Thank God he don't allow me to live any way I want to live. Yeah, thank God. Amen. What some people think to be a burden, I have found to be the greatest blessing in my... Hey! He won't let me drink. He won't let me do dope. He won't let me listen to bad music. He won't let me watch pornography. You say, how come? 'Cause he loves me too much. He knows what a detriment it is to my life. He knows that when I go down that road, there ain't nothing but pain and suffering and hard things to be borne. Brother, you need to get right with God today. It's a good place. The Father's house is a good place. You say it's a bunch of rules and regulations, a bunch of do's and don'ts. Let me see if I can help you with that. There's more do's in that book than there are don'ts. And if you'll focus on the do's, you won't have time for the don'ts. Amen. If we just get to doing what God called us to do, amen, you ain't going to have time for much of them don'ts. Hey, that won't be your problem. I'll tell you right now, for the people of God, if we'd just do what God said to do, we'd find out, brother, there's a good way out there. Right with God. Well, there's a bunch of us claim to be. But I'll tell you what makes you right with God. Well, I'll get there here in a minute. But I want to see if I can establish that we're wrong to begin with. This young man was a child of the Father, so I'm not questioning his birthright. And I'm saying to you that even when he was out there, strung out on dope or alcohol or women, whatever else it was that was his particular vice that caused him to waste everything, I mean spend all. The devil took everything he had. And there he was without anything when the famine hit. Now, for me to be right with God, let me be clear. Number one, I've got to be in a place where I'm doing what God has called me to do. And if you ain't doing what God called you to do, let me be real honest with you. You're wrong. You're living wrong. You're not right with God, and you won't be right with God until you line up and do what God has told you to do. Now, if that applies to a preacher among us this morning, let me just encourage you, friend. If you're a man of God and you've been called by God, then you need to preach. Amen. If that's what God's called you to do, that's what you need to do. And if you don't do that, you're wrong. You're not right, and you need to get right with God. You say, preacher, you can't stand up there and pontificate as if you're God. I'll tell you right now, I've never claimed to be God, and I don't claim, friend, to pontificate. But I will tell you what the Word of God says, whether you like it or not. And what we need to do as a people is quit comparing ourselves to an earthly standard and get right with a holy God today. That'll make a difference in you. You want to see your life changed? You want to see your life transformed? You want to see your world took upside down for the better and to see God do things that you didn't think he could do? I'll tell you how it starts. You're going to have to recognize where you're at today. Brother, I don't care if you're on the front bench or the back one. You can still be wrong with God. There are too many people today that think they're right because of some earthly standard or something that they do here. Let me tell you something. You have never been right with God based upon any earthly thing. No, to be right with God, you've got to be in line with what is heavenly, what is divine, what is sovereignly given to you and I. Brother, God has laid it down for us. And I'll tell you right now, I have not found His ways to be burdensome. Now, if you want to live like the devil, and if you want to run and do everything the devil does, yeah, you're going to find what God says, amen, to be a crowd. Amen, it'll be a press against what your heart wants. But brother, if you'll get right with God, brother, your desires will change. And suddenly you're going to want the things of the Father, not the world. Right with God? Well, some of us are going to have to grow up and we're going to have to get honest with ourselves. I heard a preacher, Patrick O'Dell, shared this week and it stuck to my heart. Amen. I like when stuff sticks to me. Amen. That's good. It means it'll go with you. He quoted Adrian Rogers. A preacher, he's dead now, but Adrian Rogers, and he said, and you can't confess unto God what you ain't willing to admit to yourself. Amen. Every one of us can put on our mask and we can put on our church clothes and we can put on our church face and we can come into the house of God and we can shake the preacher's hand and we can tell him howdy and everything's all right. But I'll tell you right now, there's one in heaven that knows the truth in you. He knows what's behind the mask you're wearing. He knows what's behind the heart you've got. And brother, He wants to help you today. God is not here, amen, to be some a friend, a downer to your life. I'll tell you right now, somebody help me. God ain't been nothing but good for me. He's delivered me hundreds of times over. God ain't never been nothing but wonderful in my life. I'll tell you, everything that I gave up when I got saved, I didn't need it, and I got something better in return. Amen. You can have it all. Amen. I don't want it. Amen. There's something in my soul got changed one day. And it made me want what the Father's house has got. I will get there in a minute. But let me see if I can help you where you're wrong. Amen. Now, I don't enjoy the privilege. Well, let me back up. I do enjoy it. Amen. It ain't that I like telling you that you're wrong, because, brother, I'm looking in a mirror. I just want you to know that there ain't nobody in this room more honest than me when it comes to knowing who's the problem. Amen. You can blame it on the devil all you want to, and I know we've got an adversary, but I'll tell you right now, your worst enemy is the ones you brushing his teeth every day. Amen. That's your enemy right there. You need to get him under control. You need to get her under subjection. You need to bring that flesh nature, brother, unto the hand of an almighty God and let Him do something for you. You can die to the flesh every day, and that's what the Bible calls us to do. You want to be right with God? Die out to yourself for a while. Wrong? Yeah. Yeah, we live wrong. Sometimes we can come into the church, we can sing. We can do all the stuff church people do. And you know what? You'll fool me every time. Almost. But most of the time, you'll get me. Amen. I'm like Elmer Fudd. I'm not the smartest one with a gun. But I'll tell you right now, I know the Spirit. I know that much. Amen. You can do what you do, and you can act like they act, and you can say what they say. But son, if the Spirit don't bear witness with it, I ain't sure. Amen. But there's something I do know. I know when the Spirit of God bears witness with it. Amen. And I know this, the Spirit of God won't bear witness with wrong. You want to know what's wrong? You want to know why you can't worship God? You want to know why you can't feel the Spirit of God? Let me tell you right now, I'd be terrified if I couldn't feel the Spirit. Amen. Hear me this morning. If you ain't got a hunger and a thirst in your born-again soul for the Spirit of God's movement and power in your life, friend, you need to get right with God. You're not right with God. Or, as Luke shared with us, the words of Jesus, you're in the hog pen. Amen. Let me be clear. You can't be in the hog pen and not stink. Amen. I know that enough about hogs. Thank you, Larry Hare.
When I was growing up, I spent a lot of time over at Larry's house. They had 200 or 300 all the time. And I remember when you go over there, amen, they didn't ask you to work. That was expected when you arrived. Amen. You wasn't invited to help. No, you were put to the task. Amen. And I had that wonderful position of cleaning the hog house. Amen. Oh, Larry, get me in there, and there's a water hose with a powerful end on it. And I'd stand there, and you'd squirt that pig manure down them concrete troughs, and they were all coming in together and running out into a big pit out the end of that thing. And I told somebody the other night that preached on the hog pen, I told him, I said, I know what that smells like. That kind of smell, brother, when it gets in your nose, you can't get it out there. It gets on your flesh. You can't. We'd wash our hands and toothpaste with soap. I put toothpaste in my hair to try to get that smell off me. I'm telling you right now, the world has got a smell, and I don't care what you try to wash it off with. In this world, you're going to need help getting stink off you. It's because you're still in the hog pen. Now, you can run around with hogs all day long and say you're right. But you ain't right with God. You might be right with your friends. You might be right with your warped brain. Yeah, I said you had a warped brain. All of us struggle. Amen. This right up here, that's your problem right now. You need to get that under control, and you need to get it washed and regenerated under the power of that holy book every day, and pray and pray. And then maybe, Scott Lane, we'll be able to stand upright. Hey, maybe then we'll be able to feel the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, you're speaking to me as if you're always there. No, you ain't listening to me. I'm telling you, I've already identified the enemy, and he is me. I've already identified my biggest problem, and it ain't you, it ain't this world, it ain't the devil, it's the sin nature that dwells in my flesh. If you leave me 5 minutes to myself without the influence of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and the people of God, I'll fall. I just wanted you to be clear about me. Now, you may be holy. You may be pious. You may be one sitting there saying, oh, I'd never fall. But you're the one the Bible said be careful with. The Bible said man thinks he standeth. Be careful lest he fall. How come? Because what God knows, you ain't figured out yet. Your flesh ain't going to get no better. You better have another plan. Because turning over a new leaf or making your flesh better, that ain't going to work. I'll tell you right now, it's been tried by millions, Paul Lester. That won't get it. You can try and try till the cows come home, but until you get right with God, you're still wrong today. Preacher, you can't judge me. You ought to read your Bible. You'd get more familiar with verses like that and not use them out of context. I'll tell you what I can't do, Paul. Is I cannot judge the content of your heart, because there is one alone that knows what you think. He knows what you've done, what you thought, what you've said, and you will stand in judgment before him, and he alone can judge accurately. I cannot do that. But I'll tell you what I can judge. He said, you shall know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And brother, I can be a fruit inspector, and I gladly say, look at mine. It may not be pretty, but bless God, I hope some's there. I hope there's something there that makes you think that man loves his father more than he loves this world. That man is tied into the true vine and is producing fruit of that vine. And brother, if your fruit is of the world today, you better check your salvation, because it may not be real. You say, what's my problem? Well, you ain't right with God. You ain't right with God. And when I say you ain't right with God, I'm not saying it in a condescending way. I'm just telling you, it's a problem with all of us. Every day, out of every week, out of every year, you will be working on that one thing. It's how do I get right with God? All right, let me take a poll. Don't raise your hand. This is a sneaky one. Every born again believer in the house this morning, since the day you got saved, How many of you had to repent since then? Amen. Somebody said daily. All the time. How come? Because this flesh I live in is the sorriest, most hideous, worthless thing has ever been. You say, you're talking about yourself. Yes, sir. I'm trying to be clear with you. We all got this problem. There ain't no big eyes, little ewes. There ain't no good ones and bad ones. No, every one of us have got a need for Christ. And apart from Christ, you ain't right with God today. But we're going to have to get to the truth and recognize that we're wrong. We're wrong. We're not right. We're wrong. Well, to get this young man to the place where he could admit this truth, God had to take everything. Now, he spent his living. He spent all that inheritance that his father did. God wasn't in that. But when he ran out of money, God got involved. Amen. Let me warn you, child of God. When you run out of your will and your ability to satisfy your own lust and pleasure, brother, God's fixing to step in. Now, as long as your heart's in it and you're after this world and you can satisfy it and you can pay for it, amen, you know what God's going to let you do? Amen. You're a fine young man, as far as I know. Stay with it. Don't you look back. Don't look to the left, to the right. You hold fast to it because he's an enemy and he's after you. Amen. He wants you, Rick, to lay it down. Just one day, lay it down. Just try this. Do that. Let me tell you something. You can get yourself in a spot spiritually where you try to excommunicate your heart from God. Now, it ain't possible to get out of the hand of God as a born-again believer. But I'll tell you what is possible. You can lose fellowship with the Holy One. You can lose communion. Union with the Holy Ghost, and brother, the Word of God can get to you where it don't mean anything anymore. You can get backslid on God just like that. Surely it's not that drastic. Let me give you an example. And I can't tell you exactly the time frame from the edge of the boat to Jesus' hand, but I can tell you that the Apostle Peter went from here to here in a matter of a minute. That's what I'm guessing, 60 whole seconds. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. Jesus said, come. Come on. Oh, Peter, he's pumped up. He jumped out of that boat and he started walking on that water. Amen. The 60-second clock's ticking with us now. He started walking on that water. And then them waves started hitting him and he's still walking on the water. And the storm started all around him. And suddenly he took his eyes off Jesus. And the next thing you know, like a rock. I believe within 60 seconds he went from walking. Anybody walked on water lately? Hey, he's in a spiritual plane I've never been on. He was walking on water, and that quick, he was saying, Lord, save me. I told him the other day when I was preaching, I said, here's how I see it in my mind. I'm going to ask Peter, Gavin, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Peter, tell me how it went. I'm going to say, what really happened? Here's how I had it in my mind. Straighten it out. I can see him, Greg, as he took his eyes off the Lord and started looking at that wind and that water that was banging all around him. Brother, he started to sink like a rock. I can see it as his head went under, his hand just still above the water as he was a-crying, save me, going under. And then that big old hand, it grabbed him and lifted him up out there. Hey, God, brother, knows when you're going down today, and he'll help you if you'll cry out to him. You know what? Peter had a split second to get honest in his heart. He had a split second to recognize that he's going to die if he didn't call on God. Hey, you can get right with God today, and it won't take all afternoon. Well, the prodigal son had got himself in a place where he couldn't fund his activities anymore. He couldn't even get a decent job. You're talking about a wreck. He couldn't even get a decent job. Well, finally, somebody thought they'd have mercy on him. And it's hard to find a pig farmer in Jewish country. Well, maybe he is down in the Gentile land, I guess. But somebody hired him out and put him out there in the field with them pigs. Which, by the way, as a Jew, you couldn't eat them. They were unclean. They were unclean. And there he was. He didn't have no more money. Now, let me see if I can use money today as will. He didn't have no more ability. You know, there's people strung out on dope today. They've spent everything they have. And you know what they'll do, Ramona? They'll wake up tomorrow trying to figure out how I can steal enough to get enough cash to get in this shape one more time. Now, I don't know about you, but that goes beyond human reason for me. But I understand the powers of addiction, and they're real, right? But this old boy, at some point in that hog pen, had a moment of clarity. Amen. That is a divine appointment, by the way. When you have a moment of clarity, especially for the addict, when you have a moment when your mind is not 100% consumed by that drug, you better pay attention to what you're hearing. Because in that moment, it may be the words of life or death for you. In that moment of clarity, the Bible said that he came to himself. He recognized that something was wrong with the way he was living compared to what he knew in his heart was still there. So, preacher, I'm not right with God. Good. You'll never confess to God what you haven't admitted to yourself. And that's the problem. You say, why don't people use the altar anymore? Because they won't admit to themselves they're wrong. Listen, you ain't going to repent to God something you ain't admitted to yourself was wrong. Long as you keep thinking it's right, long as you keep thinking ain't nothing to it, long as you keep thinking God condones sin in any way, which he never has, never will, you're going to keep in a position where you cannot be right with God. You're not. You come to church 10 times a week, 100 times a week. That will not make you right with God. See, you say, preacher, did that old boy get right in the hog pen? No, he wasn't right in the hog pen. He just came to truth in the hog pen. Thank God for the hog pen if it brought truth to me. Thank God for the hard things in my life, skid row, rock bottom, whatever you want to call it. Thank God for the point that I got some clarity about where I was. He had a decision to make. See, as a born-again believer, you ain't getting saved again. He only does that business one time. How come? Because that's all he needs to do it. He don't do anything that ain't good. No, this young man, God had orchestrated a famine to bring him to a place where he is starving to death. You say, God did that? Absolutely, 100%. God did that. And you mess with him, he'll do that for you. Amen. He'll do that for you because he loves you. And he don't intend for you to stay in that mess, in that hog pen. Say, where's God? God wants you to come back home. Say, preacher, when did he get right? I'm trying to get there. He's in the hog pen. Well, he wasn't right yet. But he's on his way to right. I thought of this as I was sitting there. Journey back to right. That's what kept crossing my mind. And I thought, that old boy, he came to the knowledge of truth suddenly. It all come flooding back into his mind. And he started remembering some things. He started remembering his father's house. He started remembering his father's servants. He started remembering some of them folks that were loyal and faithful to his father. And they had everything they needed. And suddenly that truth just began to pour over his soul as he came to that point of decision. You say, preacher, if I decide to be saved right now, will that make me saved? No. No more than it made him right. He come to that knowledge of truth, but he still wasn't right. How come? Because you ain't wrong against me, friend. You're wrong against the Father. And you've got to make reconciliation with Him. Now, you may have been coming to church and you may have sat here for 5 months or 10 months or no months, and you may have heard the gospel long enough to recognize that you've got a problem and you're not right with God. But let me tell you something. That awareness is not salvation. There is a godly sorrow that worketh to repentance, but there is also a worldly sorrow that worketh unto death. That worldly sorrow, friend, is saying, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry that I did those things and the consequences I got in return. Listen, that ain't repentance. Certainly ain't to God. You're repenting to yourself. Judas repented to himself and then went and hung himself. Did he go to heaven? No, he never was saved. He never was a believer. He is the son of perdition, and he died lost without God and went to hell. This young man knew his father's house. Some of you have been churched long enough that you know what it's like in the house of God. Now, let me tell you something. There ain't nobody in this room rich. As far as I know, right? You may be rich and I just don't know it. But I'm saying there ain't nobody here that's a millionaire or something like that. You won't find a whole lot of them. I mean, they're around here, but you won't find a lot of them. No country churches. And you say, well, does it mean you got to live in poverty to be right with God? No. Not at all. But what it does mean is that you got to be right with the Father. And that in all of my years' experience, I have found Him to be 100% faithful. There has never been a bill that He didn't help me get paid. Say, preacher, I'm going to go buy a Cadillac then. He can pay for it. I'm just challenging stupid. That's all I'm doing. Right? You want to run out there and get yourself $500,000 in debt, have at it. God is not the government. He will not bail you out. If that's what you want, go for it, right? You can get locked in that. He's already told you, be not the, owe no man, because the borrower is slave to the lender. He doesn't give you his word. If you want to go do something else, there's consequences for it, all right? But I will say this. For somebody that's just trying to make it, you got a need, He's got an answer. Amen. Everybody know? I know what that means. I know what that means, not be able to make the ends meet and have done everything I can do. And then suddenly God step in and say, let me help you with that. Hey, I've been there. Some of you think I'm telling you the truth. If I ever give my tithing testimony, I'm going to give it again just because you need to hear it. God called me to tithe when I didn't make no money, hardly. He didn't wait till I'd got a few raises. He didn't wait till I got another vehicle. He didn't wait till I had a different house payment. No, God called me to tithe when I couldn't even hardly make the ends meet. That's when He called me. That's when He required it of me. That woman back there can tell you. It's 11:30 at night, Paul. I was out there in the gravel. I still got gravel in my driveway. I was out there in that gravel, and I was saying, God was telling me, you need to give your tithe. And I kept telling God, I ain't got enough to give. If I give even 1%, I wouldn't be able to pay this. We wouldn't have groceries. We can't pay the light bill. I was making $4 an hour. And God said, nothing else. He done said what He's going to say. He said, you're going to give this. And he hushed. And it was me trying to convince him he had made a mistake. For the next 20, 30 minutes, I cried and I prayed. And I said, God, we're going to starve. I finally gave up. And I said, God, I'm going to give my tithe. If we go hungry, sink or swim, I'm going to do what you've told me to do. If I don't eat, if we don't pay a bill. And I got up off my knees and I walked in that house and she is still, that trailer, and she is still awake. And I said, from now on, you're to give 10% of everything I bring home. She said, we can't do that. We don't have it. It ain't there. I said, I'll tell you when it is there. When it comes in, it's in full. You give the 10 then and we'll figure out the 90 later. She said, we'll starve. That's how I remembered anyway. She said, we can't do that. But she said, I will. Never missed a meal. Never missed a payment. Got a raise within a few weeks. Covered what he had told me to do. Look here. I'm just trying. Hey, listen to me. I'm just trying to get out of the hog pen. Come on out there. You've been in there too long. You've been walling around in that stink for too long. Ain't nothing in there for a child of God. You need to get right with your father. Well, the Bible said that he, after he'd come to himself and he remembered all them good things from the father's house. You say, good things? What are you talking about? Cadillacs and all them things? No, he was thinking about bread. That's a good thing on his mind at the moment was some bread. And a place to sleep that wasn't under the stars. And he said to himself, he said, if I can just get back to my father's house, if I can just convince him to hire me. He said, because there ain't a person in my father's house hungry. He said, preacher, I want to be right with God. Well, it's going to start by you admitting you're wrong. You're going to have to come to yourself at some point and say, you know what, preacher, I can't do this. I've been trying to do it, but it ain't working. I ain't got what you got. We saw a man get born again. Gavin, come to the pen. I'm closing. Wait, I'm the singer right today, ain't I? So, well, just play something. We saw a man get born again this week. Amen. Remember, was you there, Alfred, Wednesday night? Hey, it's been a while since I've seen somebody run. Amen. It's like they're going to home base when they slid into the altar, and before he's over, he's laid flat out, head up under here, and he's a crying out to God. I stood over in the corner. I didn't even help him pray. I didn't say, get him, Lord. I know what's fixing to happen. Amen. You come running to God like that, I know what's fixing to happen to him. Yeah, he got born again. You know how come? Because he got lost. He admitted, Roger, that he, I got your name right there. Don't let me get that wrong. Roger? Scott, sorry. He admitted to himself that he was wrong. And when he realized that he was the one that was wrong, he got lost just like that. Because he recognized at that moment that his errors were not necessarily against people, but they were against the Father. The Father. You say, well, you finish this thing, would you? When did the boy get right? Ain't you glad Luke gave us the whole story? He made up his mind. And some of you, amen, some of you, to your credit, listen to me, I'm being honest with you. I'm glad you're here. And hear me again. Keep coming. Don't you quit. Just keep on coming. Keep on coming. What you're looking for, he'll reveal to you when it's time. You just keep coming. And when it's time, God. So boy come to himself and he said, The only way, I got to go back home. I done messed this up so far that there ain't no fix for it. But he said, I'm going home anyhow. And some of you have made up your mind. I'm just going to go back to church. Amen. I believe Charlie Kirk's in heaven. I do. I believe it. I didn't talk to the man personally, but I heard a bunch of his testimonies. I believe he's there. Amen. I believe God's rewarded him for that great work that he did. And died a martyr. Amen. He got murdered for his belief. That's what martyrism is. But through the death of Charlie Kirk, there was a bunch of people all over this world, especially in America, that said, you know what, I'm going back to church. I'm going to go back to church. God bless every one of them for it. I believe that's a good place to go. How come? Because hopefully somebody will open up that book and tell you the truth about yourself and get you to the place where you could look up and say, God, it's been me all along. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And I can't fix it. I need you to save me. Say, God ain't going to save me. Let me finish the story. He got out of the pen with the hogs. He didn't run to the Motel 6 and get a shower. No, he headed to the house. He headed back home. What he didn't know was the whole time he was gone, the Father was watching. Father was watching. The Father was waiting. And I believe about the time that young man, he come crawling up that hill, wore out, starving to death. Maybe emaciated, I don't know. But I know when he come up over that hill, he was hoping somehow that his Father wouldn't condemn him for all he had done and show mercy. When he come over that hill, what he saw, Greg, was a surprise. His Father was a trotting to him. Had seen him top that hill. Here he come. Father on the way. He still didn't know what was going to happen. Amen. His Father could have been running to condemn him, lock him up, put him in jail, have him put to death. He ain't no telling what went through his mind. But his Father was running to him. It's got about the time his Father got close enough. He set into repentance. He said, preacher, when did he get right? When he said, Father, he said, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against him. Oh, forgive me. You say, how you know he got right? You know the story, don't you? Father grabbed him up, snatched him, and he started giving orders. Somebody get him a new robe, this and stinks. Somebody get him some new clothes. Kill the padded calf. Where's that other ring? Somebody put some shoes on his naked feet. My son that was lost is found again. What happened to him, Alfred? He got right with the Father. He just got right when he realized his wrong. And he went home. The journey wasn't getting right, or the journey wasn't where he got right. But he's on his way. Some of you are on your way to getting right with God. I believe that. You keep coming. Maybe today's that day that you just admitted to yourself, I've been the problem all along. It's me that has offended God. It's me that has transgressed against His holy will and word. But in compassion, the Father ran and He threw His arms around Him and He kissed Him. And He is so glad that He'd come home. You say, preacher, I want to be right with God. Then you're going to have to get right with God. Not these people. That will come afterwards, by the way. If you've done wrong to anybody in here, you'll go to them and say you're sorry. You say, no, I won't. Yeah, you will. Because when you get right with God, it makes you want to be right with everybody else. John said it like this. I'm going to hush. John said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. You can't help it. You just gonna love everybody. How come? Because you've been loved that way. You've been loved that way. Well, why don't you get right with God today? If He's calling you, now's the time. Jump out of that pen and just head back. You don't have to tell me. I ain't the one you need to get right with. You need to get right with God. 81. Stand with us. Search your heart this morning. If you need Him, why don't you come? Why don't you get right with God this morning? Time's running out for you, by the way. You can die in the pen. You can die in the hog pen. You better quit hanging around there. If you've got a moment of clarity this morning and the Holy Ghost has brought to you that point of truth where you saw, where you're capable right now of making a simple choice, you better make that choice and head to the Father and get right with Him. He'll help you. Amen.